dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. Now, here are your hosts for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk, Shane Combs and Jeremy Ward.
Hello, SVC fans, and welcome to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk podcast show. For the second week in a row, we are live from Jackson High School. Last week, we were here for the Selection Sunday for the girls. A lot of fun to come up here on stage and talk a normal week of podcasts and then stay on for the bonus coverage as the coaches would come out of the room. Had a chance to talk to seven of them last week and break down the brackets and talk a little second season, if you will. This week, we return. We're here for Selection Sunday for the boys. All the boys are in the process of getting greeted here just momentarily. They'll break off into the rooms and they'll go and they'll vote and they'll find out their tournament path. And as they come back out in the room, here, we will try to get them up here and we hope to talk to all eight SVC coaches. Jeremy Ward joins me as he always does. I'll welcome Jeremy here in just a second, but a few things I want to let the fans know. First thing, Mount Rushmore, if you've listened throughout the winter, the Mount Rushmore of the Cider Valley Conference is something we started doing at the beginning of the winter shows. And over, I believe it was 71 total votes had come in at the beginning, and a chance just to really just kind of highlight the great history of this great conference. What we did is we took all of your prelim votes, and we really saw the gap after the top six. So Larry Jordan, Mike Smith, Emily Hammond, Laura Smith, Cindy Driggs, and Don Neff all made the finals. You guys, the fans here, you've sent a lot of votes in over the last couple of weeks. I want to let you know you have one more week to do that. Jeremy and I will reveal the four faces of the SVC on next week's show. So make sure that you get those in to me. You can use our phone number, 740-569-3254. You can email at admin1@svcsportzone.com. I can tell you right now, I won't tell you the names because I want to keep the suspense, but I can tell you that there's three that look like they're pretty much going to coast to the Final Four. It looks right here, I'm looking at the totals as we speak, it looks like there's going to be two people that really fight for that fourth spot. So your votes are important. Make sure you get those in. Jeremy, we are here to talk boys basketball, but first, on the other side of the break, we start with girls basketball as we figure out what this recent run means for Adina, and I release my top 15 players in the SVCSportZone.com All-SVC Girls Basketball Team. Scoreboard here on the girls' side, and it takes me back to this past week as we see Adina wraps up the SVC championship. They beat Uniota 60-37 on Tuesday night to clinch the share. They come back on Thursday night with a real impressive defensive effort in the first half, and they beat Paint Valley 58-37. Big week for Jenny Grigsby as she goes over the 1,200-point career total, puts her 27th all-time. But obviously, when we look at Adina with Jenny Grigsby and Natalie Cooper and Michelle Ackland, a real balanced attack in that Uniota game. They jump out quickly, up 16-5 after the first quarter. Then in the second quarter, I've got to say, Jeremy, that it looked like that it almost mirrored the first matchup in Frankfurt. Uniota starts to get into the middle. Foul trouble starts to take over a little bit. Uniota getting to the free throw line. Uniota actually survives the second quarter, only down 26-19 at halftime. You get into the third quarter. Uniota, I think, I want to say within five was the closest they ended up getting, and then Adina really went to work. I thought nice defensive adjustment from Coach Cox there in the third quarter was the difference. Adina gets the offense rolling, and they never look back on their way to 43-28 after the third quarter and then the 60-37 final. So congratulations to the Lady Warriors. After the game, I had a chance to talk to Edina head coach Jaron Cox.
Well, Coach, first, congratulations on a big win. I wanted to get your take on something. As the first half started to unfold, it almost felt like a carbon copy to the first meeting. You guys jump way out in front. Overly starts getting relentless to the middle. Fouls start to rack up. They get to the free throw line. I noticed the big adjustment you made in terms of your matchups in the second half. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, Natalie's a very important part of our team, and we got to keep her on the floor. And, you know, Jenny can guard a point guard this quick just as well as she can. We thought Natalie might be able to alter some of her shots, but Jenny just did an exceptional job. And what Jenny's able to do, she's a little bit quicker than Natalie. She's really able to force Overly to her right, because when Overly gets to going to her left, she just jumps back into the defense, and that's where the fouls are. So we just talked about really forcing her to go to her right, and I felt like she did an outstanding job on her, and we did a good job of helping Moore to take away the paint, and they really struggled shooting the ball from the outside. So that's just a couple small adjustments we made. You know, we tried to throw some zone in there in the first half, and that slowed them down a little bit. And that was just a little curveball we put in for this game to try to keep them from penetrating. But, you know, I think everybody just responded real well in the second half.
Well, I think on the other side of the matchup change, I thought obviously keeping the ball out of the middle helps on this, but I thought some of your length, Cooper in particular, getting out to Rutherford kind of made it tough on her to get off too, because I know you told me at the draw on our live show earlier this week that you really felt like the key was not necessarily what Alexis does, but not letting a role player get off, and I thought that helped in that area too. Would you agree?
Yes, it does. And the thing about Natalie, she just got such long arms. I know I've said that a million times, but she don't have to play as close to people because she's got such long arms. Even if she doesn't block a shot, she can change it. She can play off further on the ball so she doesn't get beat off the dribble. And she's such a valuable player. You know, she's not always going to score a lot of points. She did tonight, but she's not always going to. But she can impact the game in so many ways. And, you know, we just got to have her on the floor. She's just a real good player for us.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, best of luck later in the week as you go for the Owry, and then good luck into the tournament.
All right, thank you.
Again, that was Edina head coach Jaron Cox following the Uniota victory. You heard me wishing good luck later in the week. As I said just a moment ago, they go on to beat Paint Valley, and they do win the outright SVC championship. Now, in that interview, he mentioned the overall versatility of Cooper and Grigsby. I asked Natalie Cooper about her aggressive start.
Well, our coach told us that we really need an offensive rebound tonight and drive in and be aggressive to draw foul and everything. So, yeah.
Now, offensively, she really was aggressive. I thought she was able to get into the middle, looking to score a lot more than I'd seen her in some other matchups, and really was causing Uniota some fits. Now, the one thing with the aggressiveness that did catch up with her, Cooper was forced to play through foul trouble as well.
Yeah, I get in a lot of foul trouble, and he always says, if you get another foul, I'm benching you. So I know to stay out of foul trouble because I really want to play.
Finally, I feel Cooper and Grigsby have started to get more comfortable handling the point guard duties. Here was Jenny Grigsby's thoughts on that topic.
Yeah, I think me and Natalie have both developed a lot during the year, having to take on the role as like point guards. And Coach Cox has told us to be more aggressive ever since we lost Zane Trace. And I think we've really come through, and it's been working.
I think Jenny makes a great point there. This Edina group's always been good defensively, and as Autumn Smith graduates a year ago and Alyssa Kennedy kind of inserts into the starting lineup, I think two things took place early in the year, in my opinion. One, on the defensive end, their versatility became just amazing. I know just watching them early in the year, going all the way back to the Zane Trace tip-off classic, they have so many different kids that can guard three, four different positions. Kennedy's ability to guard the ball screen at the five positions, phenomenal. So defensively, it was an easier transition. On the offensive end, Autumn made offense so easy to play that I do think it was an adjustment for Grigsby and Cooper. And early in the year, I didn't see maybe the ability for the two of them to get off on the same day. And as the year goes on, that's really taken place. So after talking to the Edina side of this, I wanted to maybe cross over and get the perspective of the people being defended by Edina. So finally, in my post-game coverage, I had a chance to talk to Alexis Overly.
Well, I felt like when we all came in together as a team, we just decided, it just kind of, they got on a roll, and I don't know if we're going to get back or not, and our defense really stepped up, and they just, like I said, got on a roll at the very last minute or so, and we couldn't stop them. I mean, they're a great ball team.
Well, I thought that was just a really honest answer. I remember thinking after she had answered that first question that it was just honest. I mean, they are a really good team. They are difficult to guard on one end. They make it very difficult for you to run anything when you're on offense. And as the interview continued, you could tell the league's top scorer had a high level of respect for Adina's ability to defend.
Yeah, I felt like they knew what we were going to do. They wanted us to drive, and we wanted to drive in, and that's they knew that our game plan was like that. And they clogged the middle very well, and it made us force outside shots, and outside shots wasn't hitting for us tonight. But, I mean, we got to the free throw line, we got them in foul trouble, and that's what we wanted, so.
Well, fans, again, that was Alexis Overly of Uniota there in the last two comments. Also appreciate Coach Cox and Natalie Cooper and Jenny Grigsby joining us. Well, Jeremy, I guess I should finally welcome you to the show. I guess I've talked long enough on this. listening to all of those interviews and some of the recap, I know you had a chance to see it. Just welcome and let us know your thoughts on Adina's little two-year run here.
Thanks, Shane. As always, really excited again today to have the opportunity to go live and be here at Jackson High School. But in regard to, that game Tuesday night, just what a performance by Adina, what they've been able to sustain over the course of the season the past 2 years is really remarkable. And when you think about them losing the first week of the season 2 years in a row, you know, you take those games out, they've lost one game in 40-some in the regular season, you know. So it is quite remarkable, a testament to that group of seniors. And, you know, I was talking to some people this week how sometimes in girls, teams don't necessarily develop all the way through their senior year. You know, maybe their physicality peaks when they're sophomores, juniors. You don't always see that. And it just tells you how great of a job that Cox has done with those girls, and a testament to their commitment to each other to continue to develop and have that kind of success.
Well, I think that's a great point, and it kind of leads us into our next thing here. Every year, Jeremy, one of my favorite things I do on the website, I see so many basketball games throughout the year. I was counting up the other day, I think between the varsity and junior high level, I've seen over like 55, 60 games this year. And as I go to put the girls all league together, I started the coach of the year, and I thought to myself, you know, man, with underachieving, overachieving, really no one in the league is underachieved, in my opinion. And if you look at the teams that have overachieved a little bit, I mentioned in the article that will end up coming out on Monday, and people are hearing it now for the first time if you're listening live. And on the coach of the year, I thought Mike Adams at least deserved the mention. Some other coaches there in the middle, the bottom, who are doing a good job. As far as the actual award, I got stuck at the top between Coach Cox and Coach Miller. I'm going to end up going with co-coach of the year. I guess I look at it two different ways. On one hand, I say in the article, does having Jenny Grigsby, Natalie Cooper, and six seniors make you a better coach? Sure it does. But at the same time, if he didn't win the league, you know as well as I do, people would be wondering why not.
Right.
So I think you have to have credit for that. But at the same time, when you lose Torrey Cox and you're able to keep a somewhat of a young old team mix at Uniota there together and still find a way to be in it all the way to the last week, I think Coach Miller deserves a lot of credit there. So I'm going to go and share that. And then on my first team, Jeremy, I'm going to go Jenny Grigsby, Player of the Year. I don't think that's a surprise to anybody. Alexis Overly. Then I'm going to put Charlene Stout of Paint Valley in the three spot. I'm going to put Natalie Cooper in the four spot. And then I know a lot of people looking at that fifth spot a couple of different ways. I think it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. I could go Haley Carl, the junior from Zane Trace. If you look at my coach of the year and first team, your reaction to that?
Shane, I definitely see your rationale through that list. And as you said, you know, from coach of the year down, there's a lot of different ways you can look at that. And you know, you really can't fault those picks. You can certainly throw Coach Dunkel into the mix and what he was able to do, losing most of his scoring from last year. So, like I said, there's a lot of guys that have had an argument, you know, how much better is Huntington, even though the wins may not show that. So, you know, depending on your perspective, it's certainly debatable, but I like your picks there. And, you know, as you go to the first team, I don't think anybody will dispute those players being worthy. And as you get into your second team, you'll start to see how, you know, people might think, well, so-and-so is a little bit better than her. But, you know, again, you know, you being able to sit and watch the games from an unbiased perspective and really see different scenarios, I certainly think people respect your opinion.
Well, I think as you get into the second and third team, I'll tell you where I had the biggest problem, Jeremy, and see if you'll agree. When I started looking at teams like Westfall, Piketon, it was deciding within the own team who their best player, right, second best player was. So a lot of times, you know, I'd ask different people about Westfall, for example. I may get three different answers. So on my second team, I went ahead and I put Kylan Strawsball of Zane Trace in the sixth spot, and then moving down the list, Jackie Kello of Huntington, Jess Miller of Westfall, just a really underrated player in our league over the last 2 years. And then I'll tell you the most improved player in the league this year, Ashley Lawhorn's outstanding. She has learned how to create her own shot, and she's just become a really, really good player in our league, just a sophomore. And then on that last spot, I think you have to get Mallory Rutherford up there. I know Tori Cox probably would have taken the second Uniota spot, but I think the way it works out is Mallory Rutherford averaging 10 a game, playing on one of the top teams in the league. I think I'll put her in that 10 spot. And then on the third team, I'll get Michelle Ackley. K.K. Jenkins, I really had trouble here between K.K. Jenkins and Aaliyah Pelfrey. I love Aaliyah Pelfrey's game. Aaliyah probably gives you more intangibles, but I think K.K. Jenkins scoring, rebounding, plus Aaliyah missed a few games there. Really a tough decision for me there because I really like the Pelfrey girl. But I am going to go Jenkins, and then I'm going to go Kelsey Robinson. Lacey Stanforth averaged 11 a game this year for the Lady Bearcats. And then the last spot's always going to be debatable. Let me just explain some reasoning here. I didn't feel like I could give Westfall or Piketon a third spot if I wasn't going to give Uniota a third spot with Flott and Nelson Overly, some kids I couldn't decide between. At the SVC champion, I couldn't decide between Kennedy and Dawson. So I just went with the eye test in terms of who I felt basketball-wise was a top 15 player, and I'm going to go ahead and give Huntington a second spot with Ariel Sands. In the article, we'll explain to you if at the end of the day, you watch her play multiple times like I have, and you do not think she's a top 15 basketball talent, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree. So round out the honorable mention, I'll get your take here, Jeremy. Kennedy and Dawson of Edina, that puts Pelfrey from Piketon. I know I shut Southeastern out. That was not on purpose. Just looking at it objectively, Heiss and Goble, I think, are solid players. Heiss leads Southeastern in scoring at 7 a game. Goebel's made about 33s. And then, as I said, Flott, Overly, and Nelson. And then, obviously, Swaggerty and Stone Rock very easily could go up there instead of Miller or Robinson. I think those top four for Westfall. So that's my take. Jeremy, as you look down the rest of that list, your response?
Well, Shane, you know, as anybody that's watched games throughout the season in our league, you can see how heavy we are with guards and wing-type players, not a lot of true post players until you get down to the third team. You know, and it's really, if you watch the games, you see that. I mean, it's a guard wing-oriented league. It's an attack and drive league. And, you know, it's one of those things, again, where once you get midway through the second team, and I think definitely the third team honorable mention, there's a lot of different ways that you can go. And you kind of talked us through that, your rationale, and I'm sure different people with their own bias or their own perspectives would switch some things around. Like I said, nothing that really sticks out to me. I certainly agree with everything you have there. And, you know, again, are you looking at the top 15 players in the league and taking the school names off of it? Are you trying to be fair to the schools getting some representation? But either way, as you go through the honorable mention, I certainly feel like, you know, you recognize the elite of our conference. And as always, have done a great job putting this list together.
Well, I appreciate that. And fans, I'll have that out on the website, maybe even later tonight. No later than Monday. But I just thought it might give a nice little touch to our live show here to go ahead and release it this way first. And I really enjoy our girls' league. And as we're going to talk about and some various things in the fast break, I think we have some good things to come. So, Jeremy, speaking of that fast break, let's get right into it. This is our C&K Athletic Equipment girls' fast break. Jeremy, why don't you take the lead? I will follow. Let's get out and transition. Let's go to the girls' fast break.
Fair or unfair, no team on the girls' side of the league underachieved this season. But on the other hand, no team exceeded expectations.
Shane, this might be a fair and unfair question. Looking here, I think it's definitely fair on the underachieved. I don't feel like anybody underachieved this season, as you've alluded to. But I do look at a few teams that may have exceeded expectations, and I'll kind of explain my take on it. Huntington, you know, still lacking wins. I feel like they're so much better than they were last year and so much better than maybe people expected them to be. How competitive they were night in and night out, really having the opportunity to win nearly half their ball games this year, and I truly didn't expect that at the beginning of the season. And then my other choice would be Edina, believe it or not. From this standpoint, I feel that they're now built for a deeper tournament run with their style of play, and I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of people thought that style of play would be their biggest weakness. So I see now how much of a team defense-oriented system that they're running and how that really could take them deep into the tournament towards a district championship at least.
Well, Jeremy, we're right on the same path in terms of the fair on the first part, unfair on the second, because if you look at Southeastern, Coach Adams loses his top two players for various reasons entering the season, still wins four times within the league. I mentioned I thought Uniota did a good job of hanging in there. When I looked at the Paint Valley situation, too, I think there were some things where Coach Holbert was forced to play some big games without a couple starters for some unique reasons. He beats Piketon at home with basically five varsity players. He goes to Westfall, which Uniota just found out how hard that is to do, and was winning that game late. So I just think across the league, there's a lot of teams that did some really good things in 2012, 2013.
Looking back to last week's live show, what tournament matchup for the girls are you most looking forward to and why?
Piketon and Peebles for me. Piketon's a team that's been much better the last month of the season and a team that I think is difficult to scout. If you don't see them very often, there's a lot of matchup problems that are a little different than what you may think. So, you know, if you don't do your homework, they certainly can get you. So I'm really interested to see how Coach Carino's bunch what they can do versus Peebles.
Well, Jeremy, I had trouble deciding between a couple. I think the Uniota McLean matchup's really intriguing, just knowing the style McLean's going to play in an upset attempt. And then, obviously, as an SVC fan, I'm rooting for Southeastern. But if seeds do hold true, the Zane Trace Oak Hill, just from a program versus program standpoint, is really an interesting one there as well.
With the regular season finishing up this week, which category leader in the Edina Sports Medicine SVC Leaders page is the most impressive?
Well, I tell you what, Shane, on this one, I went a lot of different ways as I was going through this, but what I came up with is the fact that, you know, we had 15 kids in the league that nearly averaged double figures this season. And when you look at it even closer, there's 10 of those girls coming back. And when you add into that mix, you know, a Taylor Overlay, a Hannah Nelson, a Leah Pelfrey, Logan Goble, Haley Heiss, Reagan Stonerock, Morgan Gino, Kelly Fox, girls that aren't on that list that, you know, are capable of putting up 15 points a night or more and scoring, I think there's a lot to look forward to in the coming seasons.
Well, my take on this kind of builds off that. But first, I need to say that the Natalie Cooper block statistic is ridiculous. I mean, yeah. This is a guard, basically, that she honestly blocks two or three jump shots a game.
Right.
Just her length, and you heard Coach Cox earlier say that. But I would go to the three-point category. When I say names like Overly, Lawhorn, Sams, Goble, Robinson, Gino, Legg, Taylor Overly, those are all freshmen, sophomores. And I think it builds on your scoring point that over the next 2 to 3 years, I think we're in for some much improved offensive play in the league.
With the Valero standings now final for the girls, which team is the early preseason favorite for next year?
Well, Shane, I think it's hard not to go with Uniota. You know, a healthy Torrey Cox, and they probably have the best two players in the league. And although their depth might be a question, you know, I think they have to be the favorites going in.
Well, I can't disagree with you assuming Torrey's healthy and coming back, because you're right about those top two players. I think Zane Trace has a couple young bigs, as I watched their JV team play a couple times, that are going to blend into some nice things coming back. Obviously, Westfall's talented. I just mentioned Piketon having three legitimate all-league players coming back. So, yeah, Uniota probably, as long as Torrey's healthy, but they say those other three teams will be right there. Well, Jeremy, as we come out of the fast break, we want to take a look at one of our popular segments. I look out across the room here. I do see some rooms starting to come out, but I'm not seeing any SVC coaches. So if we'll continue here, let's go with Liar, Liar, Stripes on Fire. Jeremy, it's talking about officials preparing for big games. It refers it to trap games. If you have the big game on a Friday night coming back on Saturday, maybe with one that's not the same atmosphere. It even referenced last week's Liar, Liar, in terms of, do you purposely want to know about teams? Just talk fans through a little bit about officials going into games in terms of a trap game, if you will.
Well, I don't know. Again, the term trap game, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but I can definitely point to some factors. The atmosphere, as you alluded to, that's a huge factor. One night to the next, and a lot of officials, you'll see, they might go boy girl throughout the course of the week. So you might have one game where, you know, it's somebody's homecoming, maybe, and I've been to Southern Hills like a couple times this year where it's been homecoming, you have a huge night, a big production, senior night, Hall of Fame night, and then you might do, you know, a makeup game in the afternoon, and there might be 100 people there. So you certainly have your work cut out for you trying to keep your focus. Just the fact, the mental and physical fatigue that wears on you this week, last week, next week, where you have makeup games and you might run six or seven games in a week. And you know, sometimes that leads to a negative outlook, just like it does for coaches and players, or, you know, looking at the reputation as we talked about last week in terms of, you know, are you looking at the coach? Are you looking at the style of play? Do you want to know? I think you do. I think that's important. I think those are discussions you have, to be honest with yourself and preparing for the game. You know, you don't want to be too negative about the quality of basketball. You don't want to be negative about the way the coaches act. And, you know, I think to be a good official, you've got to be able to deal with those things to avoid, you know, having a bad night.
Well, I think that's good stuff, and I think it really relates to some of the things we've talked about on the show. I think the fans have done a great job in this segment, just asking a variety of questions. Fans, you can make sure you get involved in next week's show as well. Call 740-569-3254 or simply email the inbox at admin1@svcsportzone.com. Well, fans, on the other side of the break, we turn our attention to the boys. Today, we obviously are down at Jackson High School to find out about the tournament brackets, but Friday night, Zane Trace was down at Piketon trying to figure out the league's best team.
Just remember, you can get SVC Sports Zone updates throughout the week. Just follow us on Twitter at SVC Sports Zone.
Well, Jeremy, we look here on the boys' side. We go Zane Trace and Piketon. What a great game Friday night. Had a chance to go down there, and Zane Trace fights through some first half foul trouble. Mowry comes back and impacts the game in the third quarter, being pretty steady all night. Really thought I should highlight the play, particularly in the second half, of a young player, Wyatt Brewster, a nice performance. But as you get down to the last 4 minutes, I think this is a fair point. I think that you end up having a situation where, experience-wise, Zane Trace maybe had two or three key possessions where the ball didn't quite go where it needed to, or maybe, you know, get turned side to side and get the proper angle, proper look. Where on the other end, Piketon, the experience, I thought Craig and Moore went to work and just lived at the free throw line down the stretch. He scores 19, 13 of those in the second half. And the experience factor was something I asked Craig and Moore about following the game.
I just wanted to get your take down the stretch. Being a coach myself, just really jumped out at me the execution of a young basketball team against a more experienced team. You guys really started to live at the free throw line in the last 4 minutes. You in particular, I think you got there 8 or 9 times just in the fourth quarter. Is that something throughout your career that you've learned to do more as you get down to those tight situations?
I mean, it's just the heart. I mean, we take it to the hole, and we're going to get to the foul line. And I think that's where experience takes over. I think that's had a lot to do with tonight's win, and it just had to come with experience. I know they're young, and they're going to be good here in a couple years, next year probably. And it just comes down to experience, and we showed that tonight.
Again, that was Pythons' Craig and Moore following their SVC clinching win. I want to congratulate Craig in the next night. He needed 13 points to become our 80th boy in league history to hit the 1,000-point mark. He took care of that early with 13 in the first quarter on his way to a 23-point night. So at 1,010 career points, you can go to our website, look on the boys page for our 1,000-point club. It's kind of a big icon there on the left side. Great page that we're really proud of. It'll show you the rank of the all-time scorers in the conference. Yeah, Jeremy, as I look at that, we're going to still have our fast break and an opportunity to talk some boys later on. But as I look out across the room here, we're starting to break from our rooms. And obviously, we're down here today to talk tournament basketball. It looks like Huntington's Travis Reinhardt's making his way over here. So, Jeremy, if you want to grab him for me, we'll go ahead and get some of our bonus coverage interviews from the draw here. Go on. Coach Reinhardt, got me?
Yes, sir.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, it's always an exciting time. You get down here toward the end of the season, you come down and you find out your second season fate. I guess just start by telling the fans your division and your site, and then tell us your seed and the matchup you're looking at there.
Okay, we're D3 at Waverly, and we play North Adams. We end up getting the 5 seed. North Adams end up with the 4, which will be February the 22nd at 8:30 at Waverly.
Well, Coach, just your overall reaction to that matchup, and maybe let the fans know a little bit about your feeling of your team going into the second season.
Well, North Adams is a senior-laden team. I think they have 8 or 9 seniors. They're a very big basketball team, very physical. We was able to play some of the same kids against them last year, and I think we flip-flop seeds, but it's kind of looking the same thing as in the past. You know, we're playing against some of the same kids, and so we'll scout them as much as we can, and we'll look at some of the stuff that we already have. And it should be a very physical game, should be a very good basketball game. And, 5C, we're happy with that.
Well, Coach, I want to ask you one more thing before we let you go grab something to eat over there. It looks like some pretty good spread over there. I was eyeballing that myself. We were talking to the girls coaches last week about the importance of seniors come tournament time. And I look at your roster here, and you have a lot of young kids, some talented kids, some very improved kids from start of the season till now. Jake Keller, Elijah Shanks, some of those kids come to mind. Just talk to me a little bit about some of the challenges having maybe a young team that maybe hasn't been through the tournament experience yet.
Well, I think the good part about it is I think sometimes you're unable to think and react in a situation where, you might have a little more pressure as a senior, knowing that you get to do this all over again. And in my opinion, I think it takes away some of the pressure. But from the other side of things, you have to have some guys step up, be leaders in big situations. You've got to make shots. The thing that scares me the most, I think, is the point guard position, us taking care of the basketball. Having a leader on the floor at all times is going to be very, very important for us to have any type of tournament run here.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, few kids in the SVC play harder than the Huntington kids. Always enjoy watching your kids play. I appreciate you taking a few minutes to come over, and best of luck in the tournament.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Again, that's Coach Reinhardt of the Huntington Huntsman. I'm looking there. It looks like he's going to pass the headsets to a good friend of mine and a coach who's done just an outstanding job this year, Jason Smith of the Edina Warriors. Jason, I appreciate you joining us. I guess the way we've been trying to start our interviews here in our bonus live coverage of the Boys Selection Sunday is letting the fans know your division, your site, and then your seed, as well as your matchup.
We're Division 3 at Waverly. We got the 10 seed. That squares us up with Westfall, the 7 seed in the first round. Winner to play Piketon, the 2 seed.
Well, Jason, I'm going to ask you a question right off the bat, make you a little bit uncomfortable, if that's all right. You and I have been friends for a long time, and a lot of times when we talk, you're so straightforward about your coaching, and you're so class acted. A lot of times you don't tell me if a kid has been hurt or if you're without a kid, and I'll find out later that you did a particular thing with a kid out. But I'll tell you what, your attitude has really come over to your team, and as you ended up getting Shepherd back and you ended up getting healthy at a couple other spots, you've really become a pretty dangerous basketball team the second half of the season. Talk to us a little bit about where you feel your team's at.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that, Shane. We want to be a no excuse team. We were without Shepherd early in the season, but if you give your kids a cop out, if you give them an excuse, they'll take it. And most of the time, so we try to avoid that, and we tried to do the best we could without Shepherd. Having him back obviously is a big bonus for us. We talk all the time about wanting to be a dangerous team, but I told the guys at Union Yoder Friday, we're not truly going to be a dangerous team until we can go into somebody else's house and win one on the road. All three of our wins this year have been at home, and to be a truly dangerous team, you got to go into somebody else's house and you got to take one. We're getting close. We haven't quite got to the top on that, but you know, we were close Friday night at Union Yoder. But to be truly dangerous, we got to be able to win somewhere outside of our house. But the kids, they play hard, and we try to be a no excuse team that just goes and plays like a team and plays our best.
Well, Coach, that's a great point. I always felt like late in the season, especially with the young team that I agree with you, you have to be able to get on a bus, go somewhere that's not your home gym, and beat a quality team to make noise in the second season. I heard you talk a little bit about that on the scoreboard show the other night. And as I look individually, obviously Shepherd's shot the ball well. Certainly don't want to not mention a Michael Bryan, who's had a great year as an undersized post. But talking about youth, talk to us a little bit about your freshman point guard. The Thomas kid's been terrific on the nights I've watched him.
Yeah, and I hesitate to say this because I don't want to slight anybody from any other schools, but I don't think there's a kid in the SVC or in many leagues in Southern Ohio that has as much on their plate as Jonathan Thomas does for us. Just from the aspect of he runs our team, everything goes through him. There's not a possession during the game where he's not handling the basketball and facing pressure. And on top of that, he's a freshman. He's a 14-year-old freshman. So I don't think there's a kid in the league that has as much on his plate as Jonathan does. And for him to handle it the way he has been a positive for me. You know, I'm not going to say he hasn't had his down times. He's had his moments where he thinks like a freshman. But, you know, the other night at Union Yoder, he got off to a slow start in a tough environment, had 0 points at halftime, and comes out at Union Yoder and has 20 points in the second half. That just shows you what this kid's capable of. It's just a matter of the game slowing down for him, which it has. And I think that once he gets comfortable with the workload that he has, there's no limit, you know, to what he can accomplish in his career.
Well, Coach, good stuff this year. It's my understanding that your eighth grade team won the championship yesterday, correct? On a last-second three-pointer. So, obviously, that's just another log on the positive fire that you've been preaching out there in Frankfort. Appreciate you joining us today. Best of luck into the second season.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate all you do, man. Thank you.
Again, that's Jason Smith of the Warriors, doing a great job this year, and we're going to continue to keep our live bonus coverage here at Jackson High School going. It looks like next up here, looks like we have Paint Valley's Dave Shoemaker, and I'll go ahead and stay on the headset here and continue with the interviews, and we'll get Jeremy back in here in a little bit and have him earn his keep a little bit here. So, well, Coach Shoemaker, appreciate you taking the time to join us here on SVC Sports Talk down here live at Jackson. We've been trying to start with the coaches by having them give your division, your site, and then your seat and your matchup there. So just let us know where you're going to be playing at and who you're up against.
We are Division III down at Waverly. We got the eighth seed, so we will play West Union on Monday the 18th. If we win, we'll go ahead and play Eastern Brown, which is the top seed. Which we're not unhappy with the way things turned out to get an eight seed. Got a guy coming off an injury that's going to be back for the tournament, so it's about as good as could be expected for us.
Well, Coach, I think you have an interesting roster this year. You have a little bit of a mix of young and old. I know, just in talking to you throughout the year, you've been real impressed with some of your older kids, be it a Riley Marco and his hustle, and Tyler Atkins has given you some good minutes here and there, and Michael McCloy has done a great job. But I also want to talk to you about your youth a little bit. I know from your text last night, Anthony shoots the ball real well again. Clay's been tremendous, and then you mentioned Mason McCloy. Just talk to me a little bit about blending the youth with some of the older kids and where you think your team's at right now.
Well, the whole key for us, and I told our seniors this last night, you know, I come in with a whole new system, a whole new way of doing things, and it was essential that our seniors handle it right, and they have. You know, they've been leaders. They've taken to what I've been telling them. And they've set a good example on the floor. They're trying to do everything I want them to do, and that's all you can ask. And that, in turn, has been passed down to the younger kids. We're going to be way ahead of the game next year because our younger kids are going to be able to, you know, they already know the system. They'll help out the incoming guys. But I couldn't have asked for more from my seniors. Riley Marco, he'll be the first to tell you he's not a pure basketball player. He's a football player. He's a middle linebacker, all Ohio linebacker playing basketball. The kid's taken – he took three charges Friday and I think two more last night. He's got like 18 charges on the year.
Yeah, that's a great stat.
And that just shows you effort, you know. And, you know, it's just pure hustle all the time. And for our young kids to see that, it's just been remarkable. Our young guys, Anthony McFadden, I told him and his mom and dad early in the year, we're going to go through rough spots. It's going to be tough to watch at times, and it has been. But his good stretches are starting to get longer than his bad stretches now.
Right.
Last night he had four threes. The night before he had three threes. He's handling the ball. His turnovers are down. And with this year under his belt, you know, we're getting Mason McCloy, our big kid, who was – 5 games before he got hurt, was averaging over 20 points and 20 rebounds a game. He's going to be back for the tournament. So, and of course, Clay Stratton, who's played a lot last year, and he's one of the better players in the league. So things are looking up. We just got to get games under our belt and get experience.
Well, before I let you get out of here, I really wanted to get your take on this because I think it goes in our coverage today, not just for Paint Valley, but a couple other teams. Obviously, we go in, we're trying to win every game and things like that, but as where you're trying to go in the program, how important is this first game, not just because it's a tournament game, but maybe to give your kids the opportunity to go play a program like Eastern Brown in a sectional championship format?
We need to get our kids need to get this experience. You know, in the NCAA every year, you might see a team get there. Maryland a few years ago, they got there 1 year. The next year, they went back and won it. It happens a lot. They have to experience it sometimes before they can step right in and win with that, you know, environment, in that environment. So Coach and I were talking on the way down there. We just want to get in there and get a win. We want to win a tournament game. And, you know, I'm in a one-game situation. I'm naive in my old age, but I'm if we get one game, you know, and everybody's sitting on all cylinders, you know, you never know what can happen. You just want to get to that championship game, and hopefully we can get there. Now, getting there, that's, you know, that's not a given by any stretch, but, you know, at least we have a chance. So that's what we're looking for.
Well, Coach, I certainly appreciate you coming over. I was looking at Coach Everhart over here. At least he could do is go get you some food or something here while you're doing some eating.
You think a good assistant coach,
yeah.
Good assistant coach would have a plate waiting, you know. He takes care of me in other ways, though, so he's good.
There you go. Well, again, I appreciate you joining us, and best of luck in the tournament.
All right, thanks.
Again, that's Dave Shoemaker, the Paint Valley Bearcats. Dave's team really making strides this year. I want to say at one point in the year, after a big Vinton County win, a couple other wins, they were able to get within one game of 500, had the disappointing injury to Mason McCloy. Looks like he's starting to get healthy here. And, you know, Jeremy, you look at some of the brackets to this point, and you listen to some of the coaches while we're waiting to get another SVC coach up here. Just some of your reactions to that last question that I asked him about in terms of the importance of maybe the young team getting that first win and putting your kids in experience that can be valuable in the future.
Oh, it's absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. I think it's critical that you know, those kids get that experience and get the opportunity for a win so that they know that that's what they're preparing for when they practice for a tournament game, and that's what they're expecting, you know, year after year. So I think that's absolutely paramount.
Well, Jeremy, I tell you what, it looks like we have another coach here, really good friend of mine, a former high school teammate, Coach Matt Hoops of Uniota. And I'll tell you what, if you want to, just go ahead and stay right there. I'll have him take these sets here, and you can get his seed and his matchup and his reaction, and then whatever you think is important about the Shermans.
All coach right.
Hey, hold my spot in line. I'm
after you. Hey, Coach, it's good to have you.
Thank you.
If you first just, if you would, just kind of go through where your section is, what your seed will be, and who your matchup's against.
Our sectional tournament's at Southeastern High School. We are the 4 seed against the number 5 seed, Greenfield McLean.
So a familiar matchup for the Shermans, which is was going to be a pretty good possibility no matter how it went. It looked like all the teams in the middle are teams that you guys have seen, and you get teams that you're familiar with.
Yeah, teams we've seen, just teams we need to try to figure out how to beat. It's always a tough sectional with great coaches and great programs in there, and you know, it's always very competitive, and we're going to try the best we can to figure out a way to get out of there.
Looking at your team as you head into the tournament, you know, kind of building off our theme of SVC Sports Talk all year has been that mixture of young and old. And, you know, you've got that senior post presence and Chase Tatillion and Bryce Arledge, who had a big game for you the other night. But, you know, talk to us a little bit about getting those young kids blended into the tournament preparation. And I know that's something you're familiar with on both ends, as you were fortunate enough to play on some really nice teams and played a ton of games at the Combo. Do you think your personal experiences can help those kids out? And, you know, what are your concerns about them leading into that?
You know, the biggest thing that I'm going to tell them is to, you know, just relax and play basketball. And once you get to the tournament, it gets a little bit more physical. You know, it's a little bit different atmosphere, but I think we played in some pretty big games this season that have been tournament type atmospheres that will have them ready for that. You know, the seniors kind of know what to expect, but the younger kids, like I said, they played in a lot of games this season and a lot of big games this season, so I think that they've gotten a little taste of kind of what it's like. And, you know, we'll just talk to them about, you know, preparing and trying to execute what we think is a good game plan to try to get us to advance.
Well, that sounds good. I tell you what, I think that your schedule does a lot to prepare you. Not only just the familiarity with a lot of teams in your sectional, but just like you were talking about, the physicality of Division II. And it seems like, you know, I'll even go from an official's perspective here, that the higher the division, the more physical play that's going to happen. And I think that's kind of where maybe Chase Tatillion might end up being even more significant than he was in some of the regular season games, because he gives you that presence underneath.
I think so, and I hope you're right. You know, we played a tough game last night at Miami Trace, and he was a physical presence there. He had 19 points, 11 rebounds. So I hope that you're right. I also think that by only knowing we have to play one game that week, I think that will help Chase out as well as everyone else as well, because, you know, Friday, Saturday games for the last, you know, 2 months.
Right.
Saturday nights have been tough for us, and being able to stay fresh and be fresh you know, have that going for us, I think that should help us.
All right, Coach. Well, we look forward to it, and it's a short trip down to Southeastern to watch you guys play, and best of luck to you.
All right, thank you, guys.
Yeah, and that was Uniota's Matt Hoops, and I was listening in on you, Jeremy, so correct me if I'm wrong. Looks like a 4-5 matchup with McLean. And, Jeremy, let me get you your response on that, because, again, McLean, just like we mentioned on the girls' side, that's the same matchup there. McLean boys a lot of the same way in terms of defensively. What's your reaction to that matchup for the Shermans?
Well, it certainly makes it confusing for everybody, because that's purple and gold and purple and gold and purple and gold and purple and gold. So, you know, that's my first take on it. But, you know, that sectional is probably the most interesting of any ones that I've seen.
I
was able to see every one of those teams other than Miami Trace this season. And, you know, the records and maybe the ability of the teams didn't match up. So I was really intrigued to see how that played out.
Well, it looks like here I'm going to pass the headsets. We have Coach Carson of Westfall. Jeremy, I'll let you take one more, and then I'll jump in and finish up some of the interviews.
you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, how are you, Coach? What we're doing, just starting out, let us know your seed, who you play, where you play, and just kind of give us a breakdown.
We play, we've got the 7 seed. We play Adena at the 10, and we play them on February the 19th over at Waverly at 6:15. And that's kind of where we thought that we would end up. We thought we'd end up in that 7-10 matchup. You know, we thought if we got a chance, maybe if we would have won last night, we could have got a chance maybe to slip up to that 6, but we did not. We played pretty well last night, I thought, against a good Madison Plains team. But, you know, we slipped down that 7-10 matchup. We thought we might be against somebody different than Adena, but, you know, it's like when I came out of there, you know, people are saying, are you happy with your draw? Are you happy with your draw? And it's like, you know, when you're 6-11 seeding-wise, you've put yourself there, so you can't. Right. You just kind of have to take what you get, and, you know, we should be familiar with them. We split with them during the season, so try to, you know, we've got 3 games this week and then turn around and play on Tuesday, so not a lot of time to prepare. So I guess in that way, good thing you've got a familiar opponent, so you don't have to do as much, you know, as far as preparing for new stuff.
Right, and that was the next thing I was going to ask you. You know, normally, and we certainly don't like it from our perspective, we don't like the idea of a 7-10 matchup with 2 SVC teams that leads to a matchup with another SVC team in Piketon. But in the case of these makeups and having to make up these games, you know, 4 games a week, that might be the, you know, the silver lining, if you will, to the process, is the fact that at least, you know, because you don't have the days off to scout, you at least have an opponent you're familiar with. So, you know, I suppose in some regards that's good. And like I said, you kind of went through your reaction and all that with the matchup. You know, what do you like about your team heading into the tournament, heading into this scenario? And even do you think, you know, playing all these games this last week of the season, do you think that's going to be a huge factor?
What I like that I've seen the last few weeks out of my team is our last 2 games, we've spread the ball around a lot more. You know, normally at the start of the year, we had to rely a lot on Stone Rock and Harden to score, but we've been spreading right out. Our guards have been playing a lot better. Cody C's been playing a lot better. Defensively, I feel like we've been playing better the last couple nights. You know, Madison Plains, I've looked at their box scores all year, and they're scoring upwards of like 65, 70, mid-70s all year, and we held them to 56 last night. I know we lost, but, you know, that's still a pretty good thing. But
right.
And they're not quitting. I mean, that's the big thing, is they're going to fight to the end. You know, I told them this week that, you know, 3 games to get us ready for our first tournament game. Now, we want to win all 3 of those games, but, you know, try to pick and choose things to work on, and hopefully, you know, we can catch lightning in a bottle and, you know, do something. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, whoever comes out of this 7-10 game, you're either going to play a really good ball club, really well-coached ball club, and right. Pike, and we're not going to look ahead and even talk about that until hopefully we get to that point. But I guess it's a bad thing. You got 3 SVC teams playing each other in the first 2 rounds, but I guess the good thing is that you're guaranteed to, you know, get an SVC to the combo.
Absolutely. Well, I'm not going to hold you any longer. We appreciate your time and wish you best of luck this week.
All right, Jeremy, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Jeremy, I was laughing. It looked like Coach Carson's ride there. Coach Shoemaker was trying to put the pressure on you. It felt like he was the live producer here giving you the, hey, wrap it up here.
He was. I thought I was on Anchorman there for a minute.
Well, Jeremy, I appreciate listening. And then on that, it was some good stuff there with Coach Carson of Westfall. And it looks like next in line here, we have Kyle Urich of the Southeastern Panthers. Jeremy, I have you passed to him. Kyle's been known to get in sidebar conversations there, so we'll interrupt him a second and get him up here. So, again, Southeastern head coach Kyle Urich. Coach, you with me there?
Yeah.
I said that anyone who knows Kyle, he's been known to get in a couple sidebar conversations there. We'll interrupt him there and get a few minutes of his time.
Exactly. Everybody knows me well enough to know that.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, we've been trying to start here on our live bonus coverage down here at Jackson High School on SVC Sports Talk, just getting coaches to start with tournament site, let them know your seed, your site, your seed, and then your matchup there and your overall reaction.
We've been down at Athens the last few years, pretty good sectional, and we ended up getting Wellston in the 4-5 game. We're the 4 seed. Wellston's the 5 seed. The winner of that game will play the one seed out of the Waverly, which Eastern Brown, and then I don't know who the winner of that the game before Eastern Brown, who Eastern Brown's going to have to play. So,
West Union.
Fang Valley West Union. So it's we've looked at it a lot. We didn't know where we would land. We thought somewhere between 4, 5, or 6, and we ended up landing the 4. So, you know, we're 9-8. We've played real well at times, especially right after the break. We'd won 5 in a row, and that's kind of what we were talking about when they allowed us to talk about our teams. And then we've kind of went into a spell here where we've not played well at times. So, you know, we're going to have to show up and play extremely well to beat Wellston. Wellston has good size. It's a good program. They're, I think, 11-10 right now. Have won a lot of basketball games, played a lot of good basketball teams. The good thing is they've played some teams in our conference, so it should help us be able to get some scouting done that way. You know, they played Zane Trace just about a week ago. They've played Huntington, so we do have some common opponents, so hopefully we'll be able to get a little scouting done. Because I've seen them twice live, and hopefully can get some film on them and be able to scout them. But overall, we can't complain. You know, when you come down 9-8 and you're right around 500, you can't expect much more than a 4 or 5 seed, and you got one game to get to the convo. So our kids got to really focus and bear down, not this coming week, but next week for Wellston, and hopefully get back to the convo again.
Well, Coach, I know you and Coach Alley being the only two SVC coaches in the room, and obviously I've been involved in these draws in a couple different sports for well over a decade now. I guess my biggest fear was with Zane Trace losing to a 17-3 and then a 15-3 basketball team this weekend that people would not give them credit for the tough weekend, and they might punish and try to do the SVC 3-6 matchup there. So I guess my first reaction was a positive one to hear that you guys didn't have to play each other. As far as the Wellston matchup, I know I've seen Wellston quite a bit. They have great size, but some different things on the perimeter that maybe you can take advantage of. Maybe just give the fans an idea of how you feel about your basketball team and where you're at heading into the second season.
To answer your first question, we went in there and there's 10 teams in the sectional, and I really felt like Trace was the one seed, and I told everybody in there that, and they got two one seed votes, so it came out that it was 2-8, and that happened to be me and Brian as the only two that voted that way. So
Imagine, like you said,
you know how it goes. Brian's got 4 losses, you know, he's got 5 total losses, but 4 of them are to Piketon twice. He's lost to Benton County, and he's lost to Logan Elm. That's 4 pretty good basketball teams, or at least 3 pretty good basketball teams and 4 pretty good losses. So, and the other one's to us. And, you know, at times we've played real well. So that goes into the next question about where do we think our basketball team is. Right after Christmas, we came out and played extremely well and won 5 in a row there. And we went on a little bit of a skid. We're still trying to find our identity at times. You know, we have good post play. We can get it inside. You know, Austin Heist does a good job for us. But we also have good guard play. And I think we're at our best when our guard play is really good. When Dylan Miles is getting the ball out and transition some and getting us baskets. But we're kind of at a point where we don't necessarily want to get the game real, real fast, but we don't want to get the game real, real slow. It's kind of picking our spots. You know, Dylan's got to pick the spots when we want to go in transition and what we want to do with the basketball. And he's still a sophomore. Sometimes you look out there and you're expecting him to be able to run the show all night. And, I mean, he's only played he played 22 games last year, but that was as a freshman, and he was just trying to learn our system, not really even learning the game, so to speak. And this year, he's kind of – now he knows the system and understands what we want. It's just now trying to get it done. And he's done a real good job. But our biggest thing is when we get stagnant in the scrimmage area against zones or even against good man-to-mans, we got to find ways to score, and we got to get better at that. And we've worked hard in practice of trying to get better against zones. And so hopefully, you know, with Wellston's size, we're going to have to be able to get it out and push it at times and take care of scoring some points in transition and then finding ways to guard them.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, I love watching your team. I love your point guard. Cartier Strasball really shoot at Skeens, nice athlete off the bench, and then with Heiss and Allen and so forth. And then obviously the Kello as your older leader there. I just think you have a lot of pieces. I hope it all comes together. We'll be rooting for you. Appreciate you taking some time to join us today, and best of luck.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming down.
Again, that's Coach Urich, Southeastern Panthers. Interesting matchup there at 4-5 game. Wellston's good basketball team. And coming up next year, Coach Alley might be able to even help us in on that a little bit. Maybe we'll start with that. Coach, since we just finished up with Southeastern, maybe to help the SVC fans get a feel of Wellston. I know the night you played them, I believe the Ousley kid was out. But just in your overall preparation, how do you like that matchup for Coach Urich?
Well, Wilson's very athletic. They're big. You know, they got about four or five kids that can play. And, of course, we played them without the Usley kid. So it's hard for us to gauge, you know, exactly how the game would have actually have gone. You know, it'll be a good matchup. They both like to get up and down the floor a lot. And they each have a post guy that's very good. So it'll be a pretty good matchup.
Well, Coach, obviously, I was telling Kyle, you know, through basketball and baseball, I've been involved in the voting process for over a decade now, and I know it's tough, especially when you're only two SBC teams in the room. Jeremy and I were talking that we felt you were as good as anybody in that room. Obviously, over the weekend, you lose to a 17-3 and to a 15-3 basketball team, you know, in Piketon and Vinton County. You do drop to the two seed. I'm sorry. My biggest fear on the way down here, to be honest, though, was with the room set up that way, that they might get you guys head to head in the 3-6. So I guess from a positive standpoint, we avoid the SVC matchup. Just talk to us a little bit about your seed and your reaction to it all.
Well, you know, naturally, my reaction is I felt we should have had the one seed. I was the only one in there that had a winning record in D2, D3, and D4.
Wow.
The number one seed did not have that. And, you know, and you look at the losses that I've had, you know, you're looking at Piketon twice, that we played tough twice. We played Vinton County down to the last shot last night. You know, we played Logan Allen without a point guard and only lost by 7. So, I mean, you can look at our team and very easily say that, you know, we should have had the number one seed. But when you're against, you know, a sectional that's heavy loaded for TVC schools, you know, It's an old adage, you know, you're at their mercy.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Let's talk about your team a second. I love your basketball team. I think your starting five is one of those old school lineups that has the true 1-2-3-4-5 in terms of it makes it easy to space the floor. I love how you guys play out a secondary break and play inside out through one of our league's best big, well, probably the best big man in West Beam. But last night I started to notice a little bit, you're slowly but surely developing a 6th and 7th, 8th piece that you can at least go to kind of maintain a little bit. How important do you think that depth's going to be come tournament time?
I think it's going to be huge. You know, when you get in a tournament, you don't have to worry about quarters. You can look right down your bench and just pull somebody off the bench and not have to worry how many quarters did they play JV, which is huge because that's something else you don't have to think about. You know, and last night, three of the starters were in foul trouble within the 3 minutes of the ball game, basically. So I had to really go to the bench, you know, try to milk it as far as I could. And those kids came in and did a very nice job of competing, getting some loose balls and things of that sort. So that's a very big bright spot.
Well, last thing, Coach, I won't keep you too long. I know you want to get out of here on what's supposed to be the day off during the week for the coaches. Yeah, I'm really intrigued. Two of the top players in our league, West Beam and Pierce Maurer, being a senior and a freshman, and I think I give you and Cody a lot of credit for this as coaches, just balancing it all. How have you been able to take a kid that's maybe 17, 18 years old, another kid 13, 14 years old? They're both sharing the limelight a little bit, and then your team has success. How's the whole team chemistry come together throughout the year?
It started this summer. I mean, they just gelled very well from the start. I mean, it was a good blend of senior leadership, older leadership, and youth. And, you know, there's no dissensions amongst them. They all play hard. They understand the value of team versus I. And, you know, that goes a long way. That's what you have to have.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, real excited about the postseason opportunities for some of the top teams in our conference. I appreciate you joining us, and best of luck in the second season.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Again, that's Coach Brian Alley of Zane Trace Pioneers, and we're going to follow him up right here, and this is going to round out our SVC coaches. Some of our SEO prep listeners, I appreciate your patience. I know we want to try to get as many coaches, obviously being SVCSportsZone.com. We want to be loyal to our conference and get our SVC coaches in first. So some of our listeners I noticed there across Southern Ohio, appreciate you being patient. We will look across the room and see what we can get. But Coach Leist of the Piketon Red Streaks joins us. And Coach, we've been starting by asking some coaches just to talk your division, where you're going to play, your seed, and then your matchup, and just kind of give us an overall reaction and through all that.
Okay. Of course, Division III, we're going to play at Waverly, and we'll play the winner of Adena and Westfall for the sectional title.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, I look out through the bracket here, and you obviously, I know you well enough to know you're going to take it one game at a time with your tournament experience. I peek out if seeds hold some interesting matchups, maybe a rematch with Valley. Nelsonville's the top seed up there, Chesapeake at the four. What's some of the keys as you look to maybe trying to get back to the combo and make that deep run?
Well, you know, we have to do our homework, both on Westfall and Edina. Look at some of the things we did good and some of the things we struggled with to put ourselves in a position to get to the combo. You know, just have to take them one game at a time. We have two regular season games left, and we got to do some things to continue to improve and keep momentum going because, you know, we have been playing fairly well over the last 8 or 9 games, and we want to keep that momentum going and keep doing the things that we've been doing, especially defensively. We've held teams under 50 points in our last 7 or 8 games in a row, and that's been huge for us, that, you know, our kids have kind of bought into what we need to do defensively.
Well, that's outstanding, because obviously if you're doing that, anyone that knows your offensive talent knows they're going to have a hard time doing that to you. Now, in talking to some of your individuals, obviously don't want to not mention a Zach Farmer and Isaac Brapson, because they've obviously been just as important to the program. But I wanted to ask you about Craig and Moore. Watched him Friday night there. Talked to him after the game. I thought experience was a big factor. He lived at the free throw line in the last 4 minutes. And then it's my understanding last night he went over the 1,000-point mark. Just talk to us a little bit about really the senior class in general, building off of what Evans' class did there, as well as Smith and Brapson before. Just this overall run on how each class is kind of taken the torch and continued on.
Well, you know, I give a lot of credit to my assistant coach, Bud Brapson. He had those kids in junior high, and, you know, he took my our playbook and kept things in within the program. So when the kids reached high school, they already knew everything. They knew our defenses. They knew our offenses. They knew, you know, what all the calls were and things like that. Then to play behind Evan Legg and Keenan Brush and Jared Baltimore, Jamie Helton, those guys during the Gold Ball year was huge for them. I mean, they learned the system even more. They understood what needed to be done because, you know, as you know, it is hard to win a Gold Ball in the SVC. And certainly that year we did that. They seen all the battles and things we had to do to get there. So they came in with a great attitude over the summer, had full participation, which is rare, other than a few times where Zach had to do his baseball thing. But preseason, you know, most of the kids play football. But I think once I got all the basketball players in, they were dedicated and they wanted to do something special this year. During the season, and we were very fortunate to win another SVC title this year.
Well, being the Payne Valley baseball coach, I just assume you take Zach and play all the basketball you want in the spring. I'm sure Coach Bumgarner wouldn't mind. Real quick before you get out of here, Coach, I had to ask you this when I looked at your schedule. I believe you played Peebles in the last regular season game. I wanted to ask you if that was strategically put down there for a reason. That's a great Division III matchup, kind of a tournament type of game. Just talk to me about the importance of that game before we get you out of here.
Well, you know, I think over the last couple of years it has been Vinton County, and, you know, we just wanted a quality opponent to play going into the tournament. And, you know, some people talk about the dangers of that, but, you know, if you're going to be successful in the tournament, you got to play people, and you got to have that experience of someone is just as good or better than you, and you have to figure out ways to win as a team and as a coaching staff. And I think, you know, that's going to be a great game for us. It's going to give us a gauge of where we're really at, and, you know, we'll see how that goes.
Well, Coach, can't thank you enough for joining us on SVC Sports Talk here on our live show from Jackson. Congratulations on another league title. SVC fans are behind you as you get into the tournament there, and I hate that we have to have SVC on SVC matchups there in your bracket, but we know that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yep.
So best of luck in the second season.
Well, I appreciate that. Appreciate all the great things you do for the conference and Southern Ohio basketball is outstanding. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Again, that's Coach Lysa of the Piketon Red Streaks. He takes the 2 seed. A little bit of a debate there. As I get Jeremy back in, I wanted to get his take here. Jeremy, we find out Piketon goes to the 2 seed. You and I debated a little bit there on 1-2. Eastern Brown, obviously, a very good basketball
team.
Your reaction to Piketon and Zane Trace dropping to the 2 seed in their respective brackets?
Well, I can tell you what, you know, granted, looking big picture, and we can do that because we don't have to prepare kids to play 2 games. So looking big picture, I think that I could see, you know, the disappointment or, you know, whatever you want to call it, from the Zane Trace perspective, and Coach Alley, you know, was honest about that. What that does when you look at the whole bracket is that puts you in the same bracket with Ironton. And Ironton is, you know, anybody that hasn't seen them play, Ironton is they're amazing. I mean, their potential, if they play well, you know, far surpasses most of the other teams in the district. So I think that's it's a big blow to Zane Trace in the grand scheme of things and trying to win a district title. But as far as getting to that point, I do like their matchups. I like their first round matchup. I like their first round matchup at the Convo if they get that far. And so I do look for Zane Trace maybe to play with a chip on their shoulder because of this and, you know, get to that Ironton matchup in the district final. On the flip side, I think Piketon really, really did well. They got in probably the most favorable bracket they could get in. You do have Valley sitting in there. Looking down the road, you have Chesapeake and Minford sitting there. But, you know, all things considered, I think Piketon would have to be the favorite to come out of that bracket. You know, there's a couple things here that they could get interesting. The upper bracket, we've got Southeastern Paint Valley, and you know, I certainly like Southeastern's chances as well in that. But there's a lot of balance. But I, like I said before, I think Piketon, you know, you talk fair, unfair. I think winners and losers, Piketon, you know, they don't hurt any being the 2 seed there. Whereas Zane Trace, I think it hurts a good bit.
Well, Jeremy, for some of our listeners that are maybe joining us late, why don't we do this? Why don't I go down through, I'll name a school. You have the bracket there in front. Just give their seed and their matchup just in case some of their fans are coming in. We want to make sure they get that live coverage, the whole reason we're doing this show. Let's start with the Edina Warriors.
Okay, Edina's a 10 seed. They will play Westfall, the 7 seed. That will be on February the 19th at Waverly High School at 6:15.
And so that's Edina and Westfall. Let's go ahead and mention Piketon just because that has a lot to do with that. Go ahead there.
Right. The winner of that game will advance February 23rd. Will be a 5 o'clock game at Waverly High School to play the Piketon Red Streaks.
Okay. How about the Paint Valley Bearcats?
Paint Valley was awarded the 8 seed. They will play at Waverly High School on February the 18th at 7 p.m. versus West Union.
Okay. And Huntington.
Huntington was awarded a 5 seed. They will play at Waverly High School on February 22nd. That's an 8:30 tip-off versus North Adams.
So that's a one game and out there.
That's
so
a one game and out.
That's an interesting matchup, isn't it?
It is an interesting matchup. I've seen North Adams a couple times. You know, Huntington certainly will have an opportunity in that game. I mean, North Adams plays in a difficult league, but I see some things there where Huntington could make it to the Convo.
Another great matchup, Southeastern. Tell us about them.
Southeastern's a 4 seed. They will play against Wellston. Now, that game will be at Athens High School on February the 22nd. That's an 8:30, so that's a second game. That's also a one and out. I've seen Wellston a couple times as well. Wellston has a lot of potential. They have tons of size. That could be an interesting matchup. But, again, I like Southeastern's chances there making it to the Convo.
Jeremy, we just heard from Coach Alley. Zane Trace gets a 2 seed there. Tell us about their matchup.
Zane Trace will play at Athens High School as well. Their game will be February 23rd at 3 p.m. at Athens High School. They'll play the winner of Belpre and River Valley. Again, I think that's a favorable matchup for Zane Trace to make it to the Convo, 3 o'clock on the 23rd.
And then our only Division II team, the Uniota Shermans, we heard from Coach Hoops here. He'll be in a one-game-and-out scenario, correct?
Correct. Uniota will play McLean at Southeastern High School. That'll be February 22nd. That's a 6 p.m. start. And, again, winner advances to the Convo.
Well, again, fans, that gives you all eight teams. And you know, now that we've seen the brackets and we've had a chance to talk to all the coaches, I wanted to take a look at our C&K athletic equipment, boys fast break questions. Jeremy, you take the lead. I will follow. Let's get out and transition. Let's go to the boys fast break.
How many boys teams will climb the ladder and cut down the sectional championship net?
Well, Shane, I think looking at things, I think we've got a really nice opportunity in five contests. So we could possibly get over half of our teams into games at the Convo. I'd say of those five, you know, maybe I'll go with four.
I like the number four. I always, when you look at some of the upset possibilities, I always hate when some of our bottom half teams have to beat up on each other. I do think we could get five teams into a sectional final. I agree with that. I really like three of the matchups, but I agree with you. I think out of the other two, there's no reason to think we couldn't maybe get a split and get four.
With only a few nights of SVC boys remaining, which matchup is the best one left and why?
I like Southeastern Zane Trace. These are probably the two favorites heading into next season. They both have favorable matchups, I feel, in the tournament. Both of them have a bunch of makeup games to play. But, you know, I think secretly these two teams are probably looking forward to playing each other.
Well, within the league, I don't think there's a question. You're right. I'm going to go with Coach Lysith interview there and talk Piketon Peebles. Just from a basketball fan's perspective, if you're wanting to whet the tournament appetite, if you will, I think you could go and on that Saturday night, Piketon and Peebles. I think that'll be an outstanding game.
An email in response to last week's show asked, if the SVC and SOC did play a challenge this year, who would win and why?
Well, Shane, I'll throw this out to you, potential matchups, just kind of looking at the standings at year's end. That would give you a Piketon Minford, a Zane Trace Oak Hill, Uni Oto Valley, Southeastern, South Webster, Huntington Wheelersburg, Westfall, Portsmouth West, Edina, Waverly, Paint Valley, Northwest. How do you think we fare there?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's good stuff there. I think that our top three teams anywhere across the Southeastern, I feel, would be very competitive. So I feel that they would have a great shot. I think the SOC has much more depth in around the middle of the pack, but I even kind of like that Paint Valley Northwest matchup down there at the end. So I would see it very even, 4-4. On paper. So usually what happens there and something like that is you're always going to get that one swing game. So either a 4-4 or one conference winning 5-3, I think it'd be a very competitive thing. It's really something that needs to get done. In fact, I think our website is going to try to work with some people. I talked in an email. We had a lot of feedback on this. Great idea. Right. We're really going to try to push this and see if it can happen here in a couple of years.
Absolutely.
Looking ahead to the boys all SVC vote, which player started the year off the All-League radar but has since played his way into the mix?
I'm looking at Nick Corcoran from Uni Oto. I think he's a kid that probably, to me, is the biggest surprise. His consistent production, his shooting ability on a team where, you know, looking at the preseason, we probably maybe look to the other four starters as being bigger contributors, and you know, I really like what Nick's done and the things that he brings, and look forward to watching him the next couple of years.
Well, I like that selection there. I think you could even throw in on that same line you just said, Strange of Uni Oto. The freshman, Thomas and Mowry, are there before the injury, maybe Mason McCloy. But how about Huntington? With their situation now, a couple players really coming on the scene. Elijah Shanks with several double-doubles over the second half of the season. I know Jake Kello had a 26-point game the other night. So just a lot of names there that I think are at least going to be in the mix. Well, Jeremy, as we come out of the fast break, great coverage today. Before we get out of here and go get something to eat ourselves, talk to me a little bit about maybe a headline that caps a day, or just some of the things in your mind that jump out at you as the most important things we found out today.
Well, I think you alluded to one thing, Shane, that that was intriguing and maybe a lot of people didn't think about. But you know the SVC fear of being bunched up together and that fair unfair. And you look at Zane Trace and Southeastern. I was really concerned what would happen there. I didn't even though I felt that, you know, seeing every team in that sectional play, I really felt if I had to rank them in order that, hey, I may very well have Zane Trace and Southeastern 1 and 2. But, you know, they were the only ones going to be voting together, and I think that's the way it turned out, which it wasn't surprising. But we did avoid, you know, them having to run into each other. On the flip side of that, we end up with the Westfall Edina game, and for those two coaches and for those two programs, I really hate to see that. I would like to see that split apart a little bit, and then, you know, to top it off, they have to run into play Piketon. So from a fair unfair, I think those are two unfairs. I think on a fair perspective, you look at, you know, Huntington, I like their matchup, and the silver lining to Zane Trace, I feel, is that they ended up in a better situation to get to the district final.
Well, Jeremy, one other thing here, just in fairness to our SEO prep listeners. I mean, I know we highlighted throughout the week we're going to do our best. Obviously, the room's starting to clear out. We don't have coaches, but I think it'd at least be fair for me to mention Eastern Brown's a top seed there at Waverly. Oak Hill was a 2 seed at Jackson. Looking down my bracket here, Fed Hawk is a 3 seed at Athens against Meigs. That's a nice matchup. Nelsonville's the 1 seed there in Athens. Chesapeake, Memphis will meet in a 4 or 5 game.
That'd be a great matchup, Shane. That's two very talented teams.
Now, Valley, I know they've slipped up a couple times here lately, but very good basketball team. They're a 3 seed at Jackson. Ironton is the top seed at Jackson. We mentioned North Adams, Huntington in the 4 or 5 game at Waverly. We mentioned Zane Trace, the 2 at Athens. And then Peebles is the 3 seed there at Waverly. They'll wait on the Lynchburg Northwest winner. And then in Division II, Miami Trace takes the top seed. That's at Southeastern. I see down there at Logan High School. Logan Elm is the 4 seed against Sheridan, the 5. Athens, a good basketball team. I watched them on film a couple weeks ago. Very good. 17-3 Bulldogs there. Coach Skinner, 2 seed with Gallia at the 7. That's at Logan High School. Courthouse and Chillicothe playing a 3-6 matchup. Chillicothe playing a lot better of late. Warren, a top seed at 18-1 there at Logan. Really good basketball team. 4-5 game at Southeastern is Uniota McLean. We mentioned that in our coverage. Fairland is a 2 seed at Southeastern. They'll play the winner of Hillsborough Jackson. And then Vinton County, Fairfield Union is a 3-6 matchup at Logan. You know, Jeremy, I won't ask you to go through every site there, but I know you were telling me on the way down a really interesting thing that you had seen 50 teams in the Southeast District play in person this year. What would be some things that you would throw out there to our extended audiences, maybe just one or two matchups or one or two things you'd like them to pay attention to come tournament time?
Well, starting in Division II, I tell you what, I really, if you look at the whole lower bracket with Warren Local, the Uniota McLean game with Fairland, with Vinton County down there, that's really a thick bracket of talent, athleticism. If you get a chance to watch any of those games, I mean, they may end up being games in the 30s and the scoreboard might not be pretty, but you're going to see some physical basketball. You're going to see some fantastic coaches and, you know, just it's exciting to kind of look out of your area sometimes, and that's a bracket that I might point to for our SVC fans and our outside fans as well, as just some great potential, because I think everybody understands what the D3 is like. I mean, that's kind of widespread. I think just about everybody follows those D3 brackets, and I really like that middle bracket at the Convo. That Piketon is in, the Valley's in, Chesapeake, Minford, those are all teams that I've seen. You know, I honestly look at that, and like Nelsonville, York is a 1 seed. They got the 1 seed, but I'm not sure that they got the most favorable bracket. So, you know, just looking there's some great basketball to be played. And
how fun would that Piketon Valley possibility be there on the 2nd of March at 5:15 in the Convo? That'd be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jeremy, just a real exciting day. It's a great show. Had a lot of fun doing this today, and I just want to let the fans know that thank you so much for the support. The feedback last week was outstanding for the girls. I feel like a lot of people were involved today. If I didn't get them all down, but I think we were 8 for 8 on coaches this week.
We were. Right? We got them all. Great comments. We certainly appreciate the coaches sticking around. You know, we kept with our trend, and we make the winning coach of the conference wait till last, and you know, and they were the ones sitting close to us the whole time. So, but no, we appreciate Coach Lysoth waiting around for us, and you know, certainly celebrate all the things that he's done at Piketon.
Well, obviously, we need to give a special thank you to Triple Crown Family Fund Center and Chillicothe. Without them, none of this is possible. Big shout out to Bruce Knox. Great job back in the studio. So until next time, for the great people at Triple Crown Family Fund Center, for the administration here at Jackson High School, outstanding, for Bruce Knox and all the wonderful people at DBK Media Services, and for my co-host, Jeremy Ward, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC. 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.